talked about some of the grievous sins that so many commit, and that he had committed, and then he changed it in just a second and said, but now. And I'm glad that what we used to be, we don't have to be anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ came into my life and saved my soul, and I ain't what I want to be, and I'm not what God would have me to be right now, but I'm still on the wheel and he's still working. Until I breathe my last breath, God will still be working on me. As we, the last couple of days, really the last couple of nights, be honest with you, we've not slept very well. Something got down into our soul, and I want to try to leave that with you and be as expedient as possible this morning. And again, let me say what an honor and a privilege it is to stand before you, so many of my friends and my brothers and my sisters in the Lord. I'm glad that God has the ability to change the very situation we find ourselves in. And sometimes we have to go through the storm, and sometimes we're delivered out of it, but the same God that helps us through the storm and delivers us out of the storm, the same God that's with us down in the valley, is the one that brings us encouragement in the time that we need it. I want to read one verse to you this morning, and then I want to try to work my way back, God being our helper. And this is a verse that I want to leave within your hearing, Exodus and the 33rd chapter. And this is Moses. Well, let me read two verses. The Lord said unto Moses, I'll do this thing that you've spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, he being Moses, said, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to you, Lord, in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. God, as we read here in the book of Exodus and all that the Hebrew children went through and all that Moses went through, God, I am reminded that there are so many in the house of God and in this congregation that have been through so much. God, they've been through the trials and the tribulations of life. And God, for just a moment, may we steal away with thee. And Lord, if it's not too much, we have the same request that Moses had. Lord, show us your glory. God, it's not found in what my eyes can see, but oh God, the feeling that's in my heart when you pass by. And Lord, I have nothing I can recompense unto thee for, Lord, the grace that you show me. But Father, I want you to know, Lord, what an honor it is and what a joy and a privilege when you pass by. Lord, I read where John saw Jesus walking in the midst of the golden candlesticks. And Jesus, we pray, just walk through the midst of the church. And Lord, for just a little while, let us behold your glory. And Lord, we know if we do that, the cares of this life, Lord, they won't trouble us like they often do. We'll find peace and rest in the Lord. Bless my brothers and sisters. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You know, as we read this scripture and we see Moses there on the mount with God and he says unto God, show me thy glory. I think it's necessary to work our way back and understand that they had been through a lot of stuff. And I'm often reminded that so many that come into the house of God and myself included, we go through a lot of stuff here in this life. That the prosperity gospel, the reason it's so wicked is that it promises heaven on earth. And Jesus said we would have tribulation. And certainly we do. But in the midst of the trouble and the trials of life, there is a comforter that comforts us like none other. And that is the precious Spirit of God. They had been crying out to God in the very early of the first chapter of the book of Exodus, and their cries had come up before God. God was going to send them a deliverer by the name of Moses. And we know that Moses came, and there he had it out with Pharaoh, and God sent all the plagues upon the land of Egypt. But the very last plague was the plague of death of the firstborn. And along with that plague, there was a remedy, and it was the blood of the Lamb. If you're here this morning and you're saved by the grace of God, you're saved because of the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. And they were to take that blood and place it on the side post and the lintel on the door. And I heard Brother Michael preach this eloquently one time. They were to slay that lamb and roast it and eat it with their loins girt and their shoes on. They were getting ready to take a journey. By the blood of the Lamb of God, they were released from the bondage of Egypt. Is there anybody in the house of God that the blood of the Lamb has set you free from the sin that was in your life? And all of us, like sinners, had gone astray, but the blood of the Lamb of God has washed away our sin and our unrighteousness and has created and given us a new name in Christ Jesus. So now they're making their way on their journey. Got anybody saved by the grace of God? And you're on a journey to a land that our eyes have not seen, but in our heart we know it exists. And they're on their journey. And they make their way up against the Red Sea. And remember what God told Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Pharaoh's army coming up behind them, and Moses stretched out his rod, and the Red Sea was parted, and a vehement east wind blew upon the ground, and they walked through on dry ground, a type of baptism, waters on each side of them. We know when they crossed over the Red Sea, came back together and destroyed Pharaoh's army and everything that had hindered them and everything that had enslaved them in their past was washed away. That's why Paul said in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, know ye not those of you that are baptized into His death. And now we've been raised a new creature and creation in Christ. All things have passed away. All that that held me, all that that enslaved me, all that that imprisoned me has been washed away by the blood of Jesus and the waters of the baptism, not in the stream or in the river, but of the Holy Ghost of God. And so they begin to sing a song that they had never sung before, because up until then it hadn't existed. It was a song of a people that had been enslaved and now they've been set free. It was a song of a people whose heart was rejoicing, who had watched their enemy and all that had held them washed away and washed under the waters of the Red Sea. It was a song of the redeemed of God. Is there anybody in the house of God? You got a new song in your heart. When Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed. Thank God. I've got a song down inside my heart. They're singing that song. They begin to get thirsty and they find themselves at a place called Mara. That word Mara meaning bitter. Their water around and water to drink, and they're thirsty, but the water is bitter. And I thought it. The Lord began to place upon my heart, and so many people in life, they find themselves, they're walking with God, and they've got a new song in their heart, but they go through things in life and bitterness comes in. They hang their harp in the willow tree. And I've come to beg of you, with all that within me is, pull your harp down out of the willow tree and start singing your song again. Thank God the same God that saved you is able to keep you. They're there thirsty. Is anybody thirsty in the house of God? Oh, they were thirsty and the water wasn't fit to drink. It was bitter, and God showed Moses a tree Let me tell you, if you're here this morning and you're bitter, if you're here this morning and you've had some bitter stuff happen in life, if you're here this morning and you can't get over the bitterness of the situation that you're in, God showed Moses a tree. Take one more look at Calvary. Look at Him who died and gave His life. I tell you, you'll find that the cross of Calvary will make the bitterness in your life sweet again. And so they continue on their journey. They're fed from God, from heaven with manna. Didn't even know what it was, but they knew this. When they ate it, it tasted good and it satisfied. And not only that, listen, they got a little further and got thirsty again. And the Bible said that God told Moses to smite a rock in Horeb, and that rock gushed water out. Is anybody drunk from the rock that gives water? Let me tell you this. There are a lot of people that are miserable that are saved because you're not drinking from the rock. Drink from your salvation. There's a well down inside with life-giving water, but you got to drink from it. And so they drank of that water. I'm going to get there. I promise you, be patient. They drank that water, and the very next thing, they're fighting with a man by the name of Amalek. Anybody remember Amalek in the Bible? He is a type of the carnal man. Listen, he represents the carnal man. Is there anybody here that still fights a carnal man? There are times I think I've got him whooped and he rises up again. There are times that I do better than others, but I'm always at battle with Amalek. I'm at battle with the man that I used to be, the man of sin. Is there anybody else in the house of God that's battling the old man? And so here they are, and they're in the midst of the battle, and Moses has got his rod, and he lifts his hands up, and I've got that old bad shoulder. It don't go up like it used to. I may have to help me here in a minute. And he lifts his hands up, and as he lifts up his hands, they win and they prevail. But when he gets tired and he lets his hands down, they begin to lose, and Amalek begins to prevail. Do you ever just get tired? Do you ever just get exhausted? Now listen, I would rather serve the Lord than do anything this world has to offer. But there are times that I get tired. There are times you get tired. Here's the beauty. I see the church in this. They were two men up there with him. One by the name of Hur. The other one was Aaron. And when he got tired, listen, the Bible said God told him, sit down on a rock. Thank God you can plant yourself in the rock of ages. You can find rest in the Lord. Sometimes Jesus just says, let me care for a while. Hands are tired, and they come down, and there's Aaron and Hur, and they lift his arms up. Do you realize the reason God plants us in churches is so that we can lift each other's arms up? That when you're tired, maybe I'm not. And when I'm tired, maybe you're not. And when you're fighting a battle in your life, I can help lift your arms. And when I'm fighting a battle, you can help lift mine. And together we can be strength for one another. And thank God, it's not about Ebenezer or Silver City or any other church. We are the church of the living God. As the old song said, His blood has made us one. So if you see me losing the battle, listen, don't talk bad about me. If you see me losing the battle, listen, don't down me in front of other people. If you see me losing the battle, just come grab me by the arm and lift me up and help me fight. Is that all right? So we're getting there. We're almost there. They've been fighting with Amalek. Moses goes up to get the law, and as he's up there, God says, Moses, you got to go down, son. These stiff-necked people that you brought out of the land of Egypt, they made themselves a calf out of gold, and they're worshiping it, and I'm thinking about just wiping them out and starting all over with you. Moses comes down. The Bible said he took that golden calf and ground it into powder, put it in their water, made them drink it to their own shame. And he said this, now listen, if you're for God, you come in with me. And if you're not, you stay right there. 3,000 of them stayed on the outside. And Moses had to watch as his men, the sons of Levi, slew their own people. And 3,000 fell there in the foot of Sinai. You reckon he's tired? You reckon that old boy's exhausted? He's been fighting battles. They've been chided in the wilderness. All he's heard is the negativity. Is that not where we're at? All we hear is the negative stuff on the world. Turn on the TV and that's all they spew. But God's got a greater word than all that negative stuff. And it's simply this. You can still find rest in Him. There are times I feel, and I know you do too, it just exhausted. So many of you in here, you've lost loved ones, and we've had to deal with that as a church. And I know what you've been through. I hadn't had to suffer it yet, but the pain of all that. And then at the same time, we've got so many, Sister Loretta, you know, we got so many people that are in the hospital. Carolyn, it's good to see. I can get my arms around your neck this morning, honey. You and Joel, love you. There's been so much going on around us, and if it's not in your home and in your family, just wait. It'll come. Trouble will come, I'll guarantee you. And we got to deal with all that stuff, and it wears us out. That old hee-haw song. At times, I want gloom and despair and agony on me. You feel that way. If you don't, then you ain't real. We're talking about real, where we really live. And we get down and discouraged. And here Moses is, and you know what? After he sees this, he gets separated from the congregation, moves the tabernacle outside. He's meeting with God, and he's speaking to God as a man speaketh to a friend. Aren't you glad in the midst of all that stuff, we can still talk to Him? He hears us. He welcomes us. And I know it may be hard. And I know there's hardness in life. But he got along with God. Oh, how I wish us as individuals and as a church could just get along with Jesus. You know what the sad thing is? He's going to have to go down off the mountain and go right back to the journey. How many Sundays have you come to the house of God and had a meeting that changed your life? You ever have those? I hope. And God speaks and you leave and you're full and you know, and the thought hits your mind as you walk out of the doors, Monday's tomorrow and I got to start all over again. Sam used to drive me crazy. Remember, you get halfway through a good revival, Brother Sam may hit say, well, we're coming to the end. We're going to have to go back down in the valley. I'm like, son, just let us enjoy where we're at a little while. He's there before the Lord. He's got to get back in the battle. They got to resume their journey there alone with God. He says, Lord, show me Thy glory. I've got more battles ahead of me. I've got more trouble in my journey. I know I've got to go down and I've got to face life tomorrow. But while I'm here and I'm in Your presence and while I have Your attention and You have mine, Lord, show me Your glory. And thank God when we get in the presence of God, the things that are so bad don't seem so bad anymore. The trouble don't seem so troublesome anymore. And the trouble in life, it seems to fade when we're in His glory. Lord, show me Thy glory. We're living in the darkest time that I can remember. Now, I know it's been dark on this earth before. I know the Middle Ages and what the early church went through. I understand. They've been a lot of darkness, but this is as dark of a time as I can remember since I've been on this earth. I see so much hatred and so much vitriol and so much negativity and people turning on one another. And it just seems like in your mind you're going, where is this headed? And we know where it's headed. It's headed to the end. It's headed, listen, it's headed to the judgment of Almighty God. That's where it's headed. We'll walk out these doors, and tomorrow there'll be something else we've got to overcome. We'll walk out these doors. Listen, children, you'll walk out these doors and tomorrow you'll go back to school and you'll have to sit under a teacher that tells you that God is not real and that you evolved from some other form of life which takes more faith and belief that God made man in His image. You'll go back to work. All those that work around you, people that don't love God and they don't love you and they don't care and they don't care to let you know that they don't care. And I'm telling you, every time we come to the house of God, it's an opportunity to see His glory and be able to go out and fight the battle with a little more strength and vigor than we had before. Oh, I appreciate that. That's Jack, wasn't it? God bless you, darling. Yeah, little man said, amen. Oh, listen, I'm closing. Too many of us, we get into the battle and we're exhausted. I'll tell you what, and Ebenezer, a lot of my precious friends, my family from Ebenezer's here, and they seen me go through a depression. You go through the summer, you're in these revivals and you get to see God move and God work. And then you get out of revival season and it's time to go into pumpkin season. And you're just emotionally spent and exhausted. And you feel like you ain't got nothing to give. You're wore out and you just feel used up and like there's nothing left. Have you ever felt that way? Say, preacher, I'm here this morning. And I feel like I've given God all I have to give. And I just don't have anything left to give. And you know what? You don't. But God can do a work in your life. God can fill you with Himself and with His Spirit and with His love. And give you something to work with. I'm tired of going into houses, people asking me to pray, and Stephen feeling like I can't get a hold of God and it ain't God's fault. Wonder in my heart and wonder in my mind, am I alone? What's going on, God? Why do I feel so far away and I'm battling Amalek, that carnal man that I used to be? He's fighting me every day. He's wanting the control of my members to destroy my testimony before the people of God and most of all before a lost and dying world. And I just don't have the strength. Moses is our own son. He says, God, I've gone as far with these Israelites or these Hebrews as I can go. Lord, I'm wore out and tomorrow I've got to resume the journey. God, I ain't got nothing to work with. Lord, show me Thy glory. God, give me some of You that I can labor and I can work and I can make a difference in this world that I'm in. Stand to your feet this morning. You say, wow, Russell, that was depressing. That's not the end of the story. He said, show me Thy glory. God said, no man shall look on me, upon me and live. But I tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. Over here beside me, how many of you know he reached to his right side? Because who's seated at the right hand of the Father? Jesus. He said, over here by me, There's a place I'm going to set you in the cleft of the rock. And when I pass by, you can see my hinder parts. I want you to know this morning, listen, there's no greater place to be than in the cleft of the rock. When I'm in the cleft of the rock, the stone can't touch me. When I'm in the cleft of the rock, depression can't hinder me. When I'm in the cleft of the rock, I've got God's hand covering me. Thank God, what some of us need to do is get in the cleft of the rock. Oh, I hope this hadn't been too honest for you. And to be honest with you, if it is, that's between you and the Lord. We all have these feelings. We all need strength that only God can provide. Is anybody in the house of God as they sang this morning? You've hung your harp in the willow tree. And you just need a chance to get along with Jesus. Pour out your heart. Listen, here's what happens. All that stuff affects us. You know what? I know that I'm beginning to slide away from God because all of a sudden the words that I hadn't said, they begin to come out of my mouth again, that old carnal man, and there's no excuse for it. I told Keena last night, laying in the bed, I'll be honest with you, I've already had to eat this message, and I've done a checkup, and I don't like what I found. Because I'm afraid I've got a little bitter water from Mara down inside me, and oh, I need to take one more look at Jesus. Consider Him that died, and know this, that all that stuff is just stuff. Who would say, I'm going to pull my harp out of the willow tree. I'm going to get along with God and I'm going to turn over all these things to Him this morning. If you need to pray, you come as they sing. What you got? I can't tell you the times that I've come into the house of God, sat through a message like this, sat through a service like this, knowing down inside I'm not right with God, knowing down inside I've got bitterness and I've got all this in me and knowing that I've got to get it out and I need to release it and I need to come and pray and seek the face of God. And the old hinders say, why you're in a place you don't know those people. You don't know them and it'd be embarrassing. I'm going to tell you this. If God has spoke this morning and you know me, I will not drag this out. I'm going to give you an opportunity and my part will be done. But I want to tell you this. Listen, why would you turn away an opportunity to pull your harp down and have joy in your life again? How long has it been since you felt the joy of God's salvation? Too many miserable people, and you ain't got to live like that. I promise you, I will not tarry. If God has spoke to your heart and you need to pray this morning, far as I know, this will be the last opportunity that we give. The last altar call. You need to come and you need to pray. You say, preacher, how will I? Let me tell you, if what God is doing down in your heart, if you feel His Spirit tug you, you come. And this will be the last opportunity as far as I know. Go ahead, Brother Steve. What about it this morning?
Life is like you've never known. But when things change and you're down in the valley, don't lose faith, for you're never alone. when life's at its best, but down in the valley of trials and temptations, that's when faith is really put to the test.
When the God on the we
then an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me, where have I been? What's on my mind? They wonder why I'm not drinking, still painting this old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes and have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope inside. I was lost in the darkness, searching for the light. Then one night at a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus, and the old man was dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes, have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. You're looking on the outside, you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead.